Welcome to Casually Crying on BFF.fm. I'm your host, Sweet Tea, and you just heard the song Angel Eyes by the band Mare. They're a local Bay Area band who make enchanting music that is best listened to under a full moon. And today's episode is super exciting because I got a chance to talk with Jess, the mind, body, and brain behind Mare. And we cover a lot in this interview: zodiac signs, how Mare came to be, Jess's songwriting process, and how she moves through a creative block, our favorite Bay Area venues, and a ton more. This episode has been in the making for a hot minute, so I'm eager to share it with you, and it is extra, extra, extra special because I got to record a live set at BFF.fm with Jess, featuring four songs live in Studio B. You are going to hear those in just a bit in the later half of today's episode, but right now we're going to meet Jess.
So I figured we could start out with like introductions and just do name, pronouns, what you do in the band, and maybe your zodiac sign, if you feel like revealing that.
Of course. Hi, everybody. My name is Jess. I am the mind, body, and brain behind the project Mare, M-A-R-E, a cool band. Pronouns for me, she, her pronouns. And I'm a Virgo.
So is my dad.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. What are you two?
I'm a Gemini sun. We're entering Gemini season, and
yes,
you're peaking. I'm ready for it. Yes.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah. Cool. So are there any other band members in Mare that aren't here today?
Absolutely. So actually there are five other members who are not here for a variety of reasons, but they are cool musicians who bring the band to life for me. There's Jason, who is a lead guitarist, there's Stephanie, also a lead guitarist, she, her. We have Chloe, a rhythm guitarist, an amazing computer electronic musician, she, they. We have Finn, our bassist, they, them. And we have JC on the drums, she, her. All of these musicians in a plethora of other projects as well.
How did you meet your bandmates?
Sure, most of them. So Jason, Chloe, Finn, and JC, I met at the conservatory. We all went to school together. And in fact, Chloe and Finn studied electronic music like me. So all three of us were in the same major. JC's a drummer who, you know, I mean, I knew her through friends. Mm-hmm. And I knew she was a really good drummer. But Jason, the lead guitarist, I met him through work, actually. I applied to work at Music City San Francisco. And he worked there, and I knew that he played guitar, so we started jamming together or whatever. And he joined my band, and then some point thereafter, we became really good friends, and he's actually my housemate to this day.
Amazing.
Which is really cool. Oh, and Stephanie, she's our newest addition. She joined in February, and I met her. This is crazy, but here's an interview story for you. Jason is so social, and so he went to Guitar Center, and Stephanie was like playing guitar, and he was like, hey, I have a show tonight, do you want to come? She went, he introduced us, and we ended up hanging out, and now she's in our band.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like those random connections that just pop up.
Completely random. Guitar Center, that's out. Yeah.
Oh man, guitar, the one on Van Ness?
Yes, one on Van Ness, absolutely.
I've bought a couple things there.
Exactly, me too. I'm there all the time.
Yeah. Also, I'm like totally spacing if I ask this question or not. Like, how did Mare, the band, like come together? And where did the name Mare come from?
Totally. Yeah, you did not ask that yet. So the name Mare is actually a reference to the moon, not Horus's. People always guess Horus. But if you go to Wikipedia and you look up the moon and you're looking at the various parts, those dark ocean-looking basaltic plains are called the lunar Mare. And I honestly have like a lot of skin discoloration. Obviously radio people can't hear that, but you can see it on my skin. And so like I was like, let me own this a little bit. And so like lunar Mare, and I love the moon so much. The moon was like my first girlfriend, right? And so it's like I chose the name Mare for my artist project. And then so that was me as a solo artist, and I got that back in 2017. But my band, we formed in December of 2022, so it's fairly recent. I just asked some killer musicians to help me portray this project in a broader way, because I had been a solo artist by that point, already 5 years, and nothing was really happening. Mm. So I asked some people to help me make it more contextual.
Mm. Totally. Wow, that is such a beautiful backstory. Yeah, and I did not think of the moon, so yeah. That's a really good context to have.
Yeah, if you listen to most of Mare with the moon in mind, you'll be like, actually, this makes sense. It's very, it's very like lunar, spacey, ethereal music. Not psychedelic, like, mm-hmm. you know, there's a big difference, but it's like heartfelt, introspective.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be feeling that way at night when I'm staring up at the moon. So.
Exactly, right?
I'm curious to also know, you know, when did you start writing music and how did you start writing music?
In a serious way, probably age 16, I got a cracked version of FL Studio on my computer. And, you know, like I actually was trying to make EDM, like electronic dance music. Mm-hmm. And I tried to do that for like probably 4 or 5 years until I was like 20 or 21 years old. Mm-hmm. And then sometime after that, I grew out of EDM and decided to add lyrics, and I got into like songwriting proper. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that would be like 3 years of proper songs in the way that you hear Mare now. Mm. And it's been a cool process. I've learned a lot and it's fun.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I feel like when you reached out, I listened to like a bunch of your music and was a big fan of a lot of it. I really like the Inside Voice EP.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
And I feel like very, like, because Tomorrow Isn't Guaranteed really, like, caught my ear.
Oh.
And was, like, stuck in my head after I heard it. And I'm just curious to know a little bit more about, like, the process behind that song or, like, the story behind writing it.
Sure. So I have a wonderful girlfriend named Ash. And, like, when we were just hanging out one evening in early 2023, I was honestly, it was like after dinner and she was doing something really cute. And I was like, babe, I'm going to write a song about you. And then so I literally, I was playing my guitar and I started going, so tell me, baby, won't you be my lady, be my girl? And she was like smiling all big. And like, I took out my voice, my phone and recorded with voice memo, the like inception of that, I swear to God. And then like, I was like, this is actually really good. So that night I started drafting virtually the instrumental of the entire song, and it was nighttime so I couldn't do vocals, but over like the next month or whatever I like slowly developed those vocals, which were notoriously hard for me to sing. I've become a better singer since then, but you probably hear it's very high in my range. You know, it's kind of like giving Marvin Gaye or something. So yeah.
Oh my gosh, I am going to explode. That is like the cutest story I've ever heard.
Yes, she is definitely. She is my muse. She's so cool. Shout out Ash.
I love that. Shout out Ash. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then do you have like a typical songwriting process? Do things kind of just like spark like that for you, or is like different from song to song?
Yeah, it's different from song to song. I wish that it was a consistent process, not only for others to understand, but for myself. Like, I wish I was like, I know this will work. But there have been periods where I seem to come upon maybe a formula that, you know, maybe just a month later will no longer work. You know, it's song to song. Sometimes a word or a sentence or a phrase will make me write a lyric first, but other times I'll hear a car horn that makes me go, oh, this would be a cool chord to put in a bridge. Or it entirely depends. I might start with drums, guitar, voice, depends.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense that, you know, inspiration kind of strikes like when it's ready and not
when it's ready
in the same time or never, in the same way.
Never in the same way. I wish it could.
I mean, that's the constant artist struggle, I guess.
It really like, is, right?
Do you ever, you know, find yourself like a little bit blocked for inspiration? And is there anything that you like to do to kind of like get things flowing again?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. I'm just really discovering what it is I can do to get myself out of a creative funk. So when I can't write, I know for sure that it's about my... So I'm a pianist and cellist as well, and like a guitarist, I play a lot of music. And so sometimes if I'm just listening to music, then that's not enough. If I'm not like actively learning how to play new pieces, I'm not absorbing new musical vocabulary, if you will. Does that make sense?
Totally.
And so like if I am having a blockage, what I need to do is go listen to songs, doesn't matter, new or old, and then go learn them and play them, whether by ear or by sheet music. And like when I'm learning, you are like absorbing, you know, it's like reading a book, and you gain new ways to say the things that you want to say. So it's always important for me to go back and play more music and not just to make music.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. It's like a little bit of a perspective shift of like, yes. Oh, I might not have thought to like write do this that. Way,
exactly.
Do this thing, but like this has kind of like unlocked my brain in a new way.
Precisely.
Yeah, that's a really great way to get out of funk. I love that idea.
Yeah, I only maybe this year figured out that that's what I need to do to get out of it. But that's something that consistently seems to get me out of a funk.
Da 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 da
and wonder what would I be without you in my life. Everything was just a bore. All the things I did since I've done them before. But you brighten up all my day with a love so sweet in so many ways. I wanna stop and thank you, baby.
Put out 4 singles this year, I think.
Yes.
And the most recent one was I Don't Want to Do This Anymore.
Yeah.
Which I love the album art, by the
cool,
way.
Cool, right? Yeah.
Like the Sutro Tower in there.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Yes.
But I'd love to hear, you know, more from you about maybe the inspiration behind the songs, and you could talk about like your favorite one or all of them or whatever you feel like chatting
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. So I'm currently in a single release cycle where I'm trying to release a new single each week, actually. And so starting very recently. And so the most recent single was I Don't Want to Do This Anymore, which is a cover actually of a XXXTentacion song from 2018. Unfortunately, he had a very short career because he was unfortunately murdered. But that song is really close to me, so I covered that one. But my favorite that I released this year is definitely Miss What You're Lacking.
Mm.
I don't know if you've heard that one, but it's
yes,
the best.
I have. Yeah. I'm a fan of all 4 of them. Yeah.
Oh, yay.
I had no idea that was a cover. So thank you for telling me about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. The way Spotify does it, they don't let you put cover in the title. And I feel disingenuous when I have, you know, do that. I don't want people to think it's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's also like an if you know, you know thing.
Exactly, it is.
That
if you know,
like,
you know.
Kind of fun.
Exactly.
You know, and mm-hmm. I feel like there are secret covers where I'll be listening to a song for a long time and then I'll like eventually learn it's a cover and it almost makes me appreciate it more.
Correct.
I never feel like, oh man.
Cheated.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. I think I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have a tour coming up in June as well. So I wanted to ask you about that. It's called the Is It Already Over Tour?
No, so we did that last year, actually.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
No, that's totally fine. But yeah, we did a string of 10 shows last year in the Bay Area. And that was pretty insane. It was heavy.
Where did y'all play in that tour?
It was a variety of places exclusive in the Bay Area. So it was funny. We were calling it a tour, but it was. We played a Pride gig last year. We played a gig at El Rio, which is a great bar in the area. We played Knockout Bar. We played, oh geez, where do we play? I'm like blanking. We played so many things. The Music City, San Francisco Songwriters Festival, just a variety of other cool venues who were supporting us at the time. Oh, and our favorite show was at the Spacement. Have you ever been to a show there?
No, I've never heard of that.
So it's a house space, you know, but like the guys who live there are really serious. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's a venue. You know, they book you, there's proper sound, there'll be an engineer, and they have invite only. You know, you have to DM them for the address. But go to a show at the Spacement because the energy is right and it's like somebody's house and it's so cool.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. I love like DIY house spaces.
Me too.
And like some of my favorite shows I've probably ever been to, I've just been like in someone's basement.
Seriously. Like same here, but seriously same.
This is like totally off track and I love it, but now I'm like, is there any house show like that that sticks out in your mind that you really remember?
That I went to?
Yeah. Or played.
the played would be this basement, but for went to, who did I see at a house show that was really good? At least right now, recall a specific one, but I mean, all of them have that house show energy that makes it special. It's almost not even about the band. It's like the vibe of the space. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, usually DM for address, you know, or if you know someone, someone's like a pretty like tight community of people, which just like makes such a special show. And it's also like people are just coming together.
Exactly.
To like, you know, make music.
Make music. Probably drink a lot of alcohol, but make music.
Yes, totally. Maybe sell some merch that they've made, which I love.
I know.
Yeah, no, I've never heard of Spacement. That sounds really cool. I'd love to see a show there. And the other places you mentioned, El Rio and Knockout, are like two of my favorite places ever.
Yeah, what's your favorite venue in the city?
Oh my gosh, that's so hard.
I know.
Probably Bottom of the Hill and Rickshaw Stop.
Oh my God, Rickshaw's mine. Rickshaw's my favorite.
Yes.
Yeah, Bottom of the Hill is really cool too.
I know. Both just so classic. Yeah. Does Rickshaw hold any sort of like special meaning where you just like the vibe or?
Well, I like the vibe. I mean, I guess it does hold a special meaning. I attended the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, which is like right around, it's literally right around the corner from there. So that's, the conservatory is 50 Oak Street. And I think Rickshaw is like, is it Fell Street?
I think so.
Yeah, it's like two blocks over. So super close. There are plenty of times that I would go to a show right after finishing a class. And so I kind of am reminded of my recent college years by going to Rickshaw, yeah.
Wow, yeah. Feels very nostalgic there for sure.
Of course. And I saw Squirrel Flower there, who was, do you like her? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God, that concert was like, that was in 2022, but it was really immaculate. She captivated the entire room.
Oh my gosh. And I feel like Rickshaw is the perfect size venue where it's like not too big, but it's not tiny where you like feel so squished. Correct. Unless it's like super sold out and it can be like still intimate.
Correct. And they never have the sound too loud. Do you know what I mean? If you go to a really big venue, the sound is overbearing, but like in Rickshaw, even without earplugs, everything is clear. You can hear it and you don't go deaf.
Yes. Yeah. We love Rickshaw Stop here. Shout out to Rickshaw. Do you feel like there was a moment that was like a breakthrough for Mayor and your guys' band?
Yeah, I think that was, excuse me, the tour you mentioned. So we did like that Bay Area tour of Is It Already Over, an EP I released last year. And what I did was like cold email like 30 venues or maybe even 50 venues. And I got maybe only 10 results. So, you know, it's like a low yield, but high enough that since then, we have gotten residual gigs. It's like people in the industry understand, it's like you play a gig and then like someone who was there becomes your lead into the next. I'm so serious. Like,
yeah.
Just played a show at the Band Shell last Saturday. And from that, I got three other gigs for the summer, you know, and like once we did that last year, we were able to get off the ground.
BFF.FM.
Best frequencies forever.
Keep digging what you want in my backyard. Go, go and dig it up and disappoint me. Go find a way back home and find you another girl. What do I like you say? All that you lack are points of attachment. Don't be surprised when it dies that attraction. Oh, lose satisfaction. Oh, miss what you're lacking. Do I pretend I didn't notice? I messed around in your last focus. Ask me if I know myself when I don't got nobody to call. All that you lack are points of attachment. Don't be surprised when it dies that attraction. Oh, lose satisfaction. Oh, miss what you like.
This car won't drive the way I want. Busted engine or busted lung. Kicking myself for buying those parts off of that guy back in Des Moines.
Yeah, and I'm also always curious about knowing some of the artists who have really, like, inspired you.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Trying to pick and choose, because, of course, there's always hundreds.
I know, yeah. There's no limit to how many you can say as well.
For sure. I'll for the sake of listeners, because Mare is a Division I yapper, right? I'll pick three. Porter Robinson is an electronic music artist who plays live electronic music in a really meaningful way. I mean, his most recent record, titled Nurture, is in many ways an environmental album about appreciation for, like, what we have now, just like the world, our friends, our loved ones. And I know that sounds really sappy and whatever, but if you give the music a listen, it's extremely deep, extremely crazy modular synth sounds, but with real acoustic piano recordings that will make you cry. It's beautiful. His approach to being intentional about music and not letting anything really be an accident, I strive to be after very much. Then, after him, I would say the 1975, they're like a really big influence on me. And I know that's honestly kind of a touchy subject, because Matty Healy is like not a great person these days, which is unfortunate, because the band has made some profound statements about the state of our world. But the sound of their music influences Mare very much. And then lastly, Jane Remover is a more recent artist. She is a super cool electronic music producer, again, who blends rock music, electronic, and, like, honestly, like, video game music together in a fun and thoughtful way.
Oh my gosh. I love when I haven't heard of artists that people are really inspired by. Like, yeah. I've heard of 1975.
Of course, yeah.
A little bit. Not super familiar with them. But the other two artists you mentioned, I haven't heard of. So I'm so stoked.
Oh my gosh. Dig in. They're so cool.
There's also no such thing as being too sappy on Casually Crying.
And true. Yeah,
no
right.
No such thing as too much yapping. So you're welcome here.
Perfect. I am fitting right in. I love that.
What is a song or album that you've been obsessed with recently that you just, like, can't stop listening to?
I'm glad you said recently. People will hit you with the, what's your favorite? And it's like, come on.
You know.
No, recently, The Japanese House. I love her so much. Amber Bain is a great songwriter. Her record, it's called In the End, It Always Does. I think the title's, like, kind of intentionally absurdist. I think it's called In the End, It Always Does. And the production on the record is amazing. It's very sapphic. Excuse me. Very sapphic. I'm a self-identifying sapphic lesbian woman. And I think that music speaks to me very deeply. It's gentle music that you could listen to if you wake up at 6 a.m. and, like, you know, have some tea and really listen to that album. It's very good. Very good.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be on my rotation this week for sure.
Totally. Totally.
And then what is coming up next for Mare? Like, is there any music? We talked a little bit about shows, but we can definitely repeat that information too to remind people. So yeah, what's coming up next?
Absolutely. I'll talk about music, then shows, then, like, plans. So I'm in a cycle where I'm continuing to release a single a week. So just be on the lookout. That will happen for at least the next month, at least through all of June. There will be four new singles. I had a wonderful renaissance period in the earlier part of this year where I wrote a ton of good new music. So there's plenty. My archive has tons. So be on the lookout for that. As for shows, we have Battle of the Bands tomorrow, May 29th at Music City. We have the June 15th Pride gig outside of Oracle Park. We'll just be, like, in the pedestrian area where people will be lining up. Then we have a couple others that I'll announce later. But for plans for Mare, I think that I'm shaping up to make a full-length record for release. Don't hold this me to this, but I think for release next fall, which is a crazy long away. But I've really been gestating the ideas and concepts for this album since 2021. And so I think I'm going to attack it. It's a very big grand project to write a cohesive full-length record correctly, but I think I'm starting it right now as we speak, and it will hopefully come out next fall, 2025.
That's so exciting. Yeah. I will not hold you to that, but sure. I will be very excited to hear it.
Absolutely.
And also, yeah, earlier you mentioned, yeah, a single a month, which is...
A single week.
A week.
Yeah, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
How are you doing that?
Well, the advantage I have is that I wrote the songs between, like, March and... Well, really, like, January and then April... And so, like, I've already had even a couple months to really evaluate and see which ones are good. You know, it's a bad idea to just write things and then, like, put them out immediately because you need a little bit of time to evaluate if they're good or not. But I've been able to sift through, like, if I already released four, yeah, there should be six more already that are in the catalog, not including anything I've done recently. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
So yeah, the advantage is the song's already done. That's how I'm doing that. So okay. I just have them scheduled.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's still really exciting.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not often that you get to look forward to like new music every week from an artist that you like.
Yes.
So
it's true.
Everyone check those out.
Check them out.
Yes. And then anything else you want to mention before we wrap up and get into a performance?
Shout out to my amazing bandmates. Shout out to other cool Bay Area bands. Mitch Rocket's awesome. Indigo Elephant is amazing. Affectionately is maybe, do you know Affectionately?
Yes,
dude.
Not personally, but like, no, I like their music.
Same. I've seen them twice. They have a huge sound. I saw them at Eli's Mile High Club in Oakland, and honestly, they could have played Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. I mean, their sound is stupid huge.
Whoa.
I okay. love Affectionately.
I've never seen them play live before, but I've oh been gosh. Really into the music they've released.
Please go see them live. Yeah. I will go with you. It's like
yes,
so good.
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. Demonstrably good. Monster musicians.
Yeah. Shout out to other Bay Area artists.
Absolutely.
We all love them.
Yeah. We do love them.
Yeah. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Of course.
I remember the time he walked away. I remember the first light. I remember everything he said. I remember the gridlock. I know you screamed it out. This is too far. And does he do right by you? You'll always get what you thank you.
Future Sweet Tea again. We have come to the end of the interview portion of the episode, and now it's time for the performance section, my personal favorite. It's really rare that we have live performances on Casually Crying, and I'm really honored that Jess played these songs, so I hope you enjoy them as much as I do.
So this song is going to be Park the Car by Mare. We're talking in the back seats. You're calling me a liar. My obsession with walking round and talking down's a reflection of my mental health. Hidden in the back streets, park the car for me to admire you. Conceptualizing spaces, puckered lips, lean your face, and do you mean it well? Park the car for me to admire you. Park the car, I've got things to confide in you. Park the car, I don't know if we'll make it through. I just know that I am in love with you. Park the car. Thank you very much. Thank you. That song is Park the Car. It is on streaming. You can hear it. It sounds very different because it has a full band, but there's Park the Car. This next song I'm going to play is very season appropriate. It's called Strawberry Nose. I am a strawberry girl and I love all things strawberry. Mm-hmm.
dots on your strawberry nose. I think there's something that everyone already knows. Grass fields where the guiding grows. They'll hold your secrets if you funnel a tickled rose. You stand on the tip of your toes. The type of girl to tell me anything goes. Grass stains on the back of your clothes. They'll tell me everything I needed to know. Ooh, 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 ooh. Dots on your strawberry nose. I think there's something that everyone already knows. Grass fields where the guiding grows. They'll hold your secrets if you fall. They'll hold your secrets if you fall. They'll hold your secrets if you fall.
So those were two that are already on streaming. You can hear those, but I will play two new ones if that's cool.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Unreleased, but will be released this next month. This song is about your friends always having your back, and it's called They Know You.
I don't ever wanna see you crying out those tears. Tell me you miss me. Tell me you miss me like you did, then walked away. People saying they can't know it. The life I live is painful as it is. Precarious, nefarious, the girl had taken my heart out to hang. Out to hang from a tree. Stabbed and broken to a million pieces, million pieces. But I'll move on. Because I have to, I've got my friends to help me through it. They know me. And they know you.
Last song, unless there are more requests, I have, is also a new one called Do You Miss Me When You Think of San Francisco? Which is, of course, location appropriate. Jane came out from Houston. What a passionate girl.
spend a lot of time singing outside, thinking, what's it gonna take for us to quit? Do you miss me when you think of San Francisco? Do you miss me when you're thinking of a sleepless nights, spending your room with iCarly on the TV stand? Now I question what we banner if we're built on shifting sands. Think of San Francisco. Sleepless nights. TV stand. All the care in the world, careful calculations of an item and girl. Was I ever gonna be a feature in the story you are writing with your life in your future? Do you miss me when you think of San Francisco? Do you miss me when you're thinking of our sleepless nights, spending your room with iCarly on the TV stand? Now I question what we meant if we're built on shifting sand. Think of San Francisco. Sleepless nights. TV stand.
That is going to be it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed this extra special episode of Casually Crying. Huge thanks to Jess for taking the time to come chat with me at BFF, and I'll catch y'all next Friday. Bye.
Down here in my car.